Good evening. You're watching Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom. In a huge setback to many in the opposition, the Supreme Court has upheld almost all of the stringent provisions of the Prevention of Money Laundering Act, PMLA, in proceeds of crime, search and seizure, the power of arrest, the attachment of properties and bail, which were all challenged in court. Now, the Supreme Court has said that Section 19, which deals with the power to arrest, does not suffer from the vice of arbitrariness. Petitioners in the case argued that unchecked power to arrest the accused without informing them of the ground of arrest or of the evidence present is unconstitutional. That's just one of the arguments given by those opposed to the PMLA in its present form and the role of the Enforcement Directorate. On the program tonight, given the massive rise in the number of Enforcement Directorate cases under the Prevention of Money Laundering Act and general cases by the ED as well, and the very low rate of conviction, we ask, has the Enforcement Directorate become a tool of political vendetta? Joining us on the program tonight, Satyapal Jain, Additional Solicitor General of India, the former and a member of the BJP, Shadan Farasat, Advocate of the Supreme Court, Gobardhan Das of the BJP, Mohammad Khan of the Congress, Dr. Shashi Panja of the Trinamool Congress. Thank you all very much for being with us. Shadan, if I can actually come to you first, I think the most glaring aspect of this, and right off the top, you know, it's a Supreme Court order. The purpose of this program is not to question that order, but it is to look at exactly what the ED has been doing with this. And the point which is mentioned is this. Between 2005 and 2014, the PMLA Act came up in 2002 for the first time, but as far as ED raids are concerned, between 2005 and 2014, there were 112. But between 2014 and 2022, there were 3,010. Shadan, given the low conviction rate, and it's an abysmal conviction rate, do you believe this is essentially a tool to pursue a political vendetta?
Yes. So we have seen in the last many days, almost all political parties have been targeted using ED by the central government. So I think it's quite obvious that there is a purpose. The law has been repurposed or weaponized in a certain way to deal with the opposition. Now, today's judgment, it comes in that particular overuse of the law. It comes in that context. And the fact, I'll just flag some of the aspects which were, there were a whole range of things which were challenged. Yeah. Obviously, in a program like this, we can't deal with every legal aspect. Mm-hmm. But some of the things which were challenged and which have, where the challenge has been rejected, was that at the stage of arrest in a normal FIR, under normal criminal procedure, you are given a copy of the FIR, you are aware of what the charges against you are.
Yeah.
In ED cases, it's something called ECIR. And as per the law, that there's no requirement to give you that. So effectively, you are being investigated. Mm-hmm. You may or may not be accused. You don't even know that. And you can even be arrested without knowing what the charges are. And that prima facie, it was argued, was unconstitutional. But that argument has been rejected. That's one. Then in certain aspects, there was reverse burden of proof. That is, normally the burden of proof is on the prosecution to prove the case. But in this case, there was a reverse burden of proof after small aspects which have been proven by the prosecution. That again has been upheld by the court.
Right.
And there was a committal to trial that, you know, when you're committed to a trial, the person has to be physically present in court, the accused.
Yes.
There's a provision here which allows you to do in his absence. That again has been upheld. Then bail provisions in 2018, the Supreme Court, another bench, a two-judge bench, had set aside the stringent two conditions of bail as unconstitutional. The Parliament in April 2018 thereafter reintroduced this, more or less the same provisions with slight changes. Now, that reintroduced provision has been upheld in the two strict conditions. That is, if prima facie, the court is of the view that the person is guilty, after hearing the PP, bail can't be granted. So that is also a very, very strict provision. So that again has been upheld. So, you know, there is a whole range of mechanisms which go from away from the normal law of IPC, CRPC, and all of those have been upheld.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't think it's too difficult to imagine for any of us that given the context that, all that is happening in the country, this, of course, for purpose of criminal defense in all these cases.
You're weaponizing the law is what you're saying, right?
It's just going to make it very difficult.
All right. Let me get a response from Satyapal Jain. Mr. Jain, I'm sure you'll reply to what Shadan is saying, but if you look at the conviction rate, and I think this is what is problematic, You know, you've got 3,010 ED raids between 2014 and 2022. The conviction rate is just 2.59%. So how would you respond to those who say that, you know, this is a law that allows the ED to go after people, but nobody really gets in trouble? It's the process which is the punishment.
Okay, I'd like to make three submissions.
Yes, sir.
Number one, we are governed by the rule of law in this country. We are governed by the Constitution of India. And the Constitution of India has provided for three things. The power to make the law rests with the legislature, parliament, to interpret rests with the courts, and to execute with the executive. In the present case, the law has not been enacted by the Supreme Court today. This law was enacted by the parliament when those who are now, just a minute, those who are now blaming it to be an instrument which is being misused by the ruling party, it was they who were in power when this act was enacted. The Supreme Court has only upheld the validity of all those provisions. And if you see the Supreme Court judgment, the people who had gone there are not small citizens of the country. They are all very big people, elite of the society. And they had the best legal advice available to them. You see the list of the lawyers who appeared for them. But point I am saying is this. The Supreme Court has upheld the validity of the law which has been enacted by the parliament, which is the competent final authority to enact the law. Number one.
Sir, I'm not questioning the process, sir. All I'm trying to say is, sir, the Supreme Court is very clear. And yes, it's been enacted by parliament.
I'm coming to that.
The conviction rate is abysmal.
Conviction part, kindly don't forget two things. Those who are giving the figures of conviction rate being very low are ignoring a very important fact. And that fact is that you are calculating the conviction rate with the prosecutions launched. Conviction rate is to be taken after the cases are decided. For example, you decide 50 cases and 25 are acquitted, then it means the conviction rate is 50%. Not because 1,000 were launched and only 50 have been decided, 10 have been convicted, so it will be 1%. It's a wrong calculation by those.
No, but sir, another calculation, sir, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Jain. Sir, half a second. Just a point on what you've said.
Mr. just one minute. If you go by simply the conviction rate is less and then say, no, all the laws are bad, I can say we can cite number of cases from different laws where the conviction rate...
No, sir, let's focus on this, sir.
Terrible. Conviction rate doesn't prove the validity of the law.
No, by no means. I'm not suggesting that at all. And I don't think... And that's a very valid point. I'm only trying to point out that the rate of conviction is only 1 in 16 accused. That's 6.25% under PMLA since 2005. And this is looking at it from 2005. You know, this is very low. And considering the fact that the raids have gone up to 3,010 from 2014, from just 112 between 2005 and 2014, if you're not really convicting people, then...
No. See, the purpose of the law is not only to convict people. You have to expose the nexus, you have to expose...
But that's not working, is it?
To decide. Conviction is not done by the ED. ED is the investigating agency.
Right, like so CPI, an investigating agency which is unable to find... Just more than a minuscule number, then, you know, what sort of investigating agency is it?
Because of the fact that people who are being investigated are very, very big people. They can hire the best legal advice. The moment you take an action, they go to the court of law, either the High Court or the Supreme Court. Hundreds of cases are facing trial. They are still pending for trial because of the interim orders obtained by those people by filing one or the other petition. Now, with the disposal of the present case, I can tell you, within coming few months, the disposal will start, the cases will start, the trial will start.
No, but Mr. Jain,
citing the Supreme Court judgment, they were not allowing the cases to continue.
But Mr. Jain, just before I go on to my other panelists, in as much as you can say that a lot of those who have been convicted or being investigated, etc., under PMLA can hire good lawyers, I think the larger point is, why hasn't the ED been used against several in the BJP? For example, Himanta Biswa Sarma in the Sharada scam, B.S. Yedurappa in the disproportionate assets case, Narayan Rane money laundering case, Shuvendu Odhikari in the Narada scam. Why is it that the ED appears to be selective? Because the number, I mean, I've got a list of opposition leaders, that it's many more. So
See,
hence
ED,
the arguments that is disproportionate.
Yes, I'm replying to that. I'm replying. ED is investigating the matter on the basis of the evidence available with that. But if somebody feels that you are lenient to somebody, you are harsh to some other person, the doors of the courts are always open. You might remember even the Chara case of Mr. Lalu and many other cases were started by people going in PIL to the High Court and the Supreme Court.
Okay.
The doors of the courts are always open. Go to them and see the investigation. But simply because people who are being prosecuted are someone whom you don't want to be prosecuted. Now, will the accused decide who has to be prosecuted, who has not to
All
be
right.
prosecuted?
Okay.
Will
okay,
the accused
sir.
Decide what questions have been put to them or not to put to them?
Got it, sir. Now, let me bring in Mohammed. Let me bring in Mohammed Khan, also a Supreme Court advocate. How would you respond to that? That don't blame the law. Prosecution is a different thing. The law exists. It has to be used properly.
Well, I was listening intentionally to Jain Saab, and I would put the following three points to Jain Saab to consider. Jain Saab, over the last 8 years, what is the number of BJP leaders who have faced prosecution at the hands of the ED? My second point, what is the number of opposition leaders who have faced prosecution at the hands of the ED? And my third question, Jain Saab, and you know the answers to all these three questions, how many cases have gone into limbo where the accused, once they have joined the BJP and done a Ganga Snan, have suddenly been exonerated or the case suddenly grinds to a halt? I'll tell you the answer, Jain Saab. The answer is, as of a figure given by the BJP government to the Supreme Court in August of last year, 112 cases against opposition leaders, out of which three are named BJP individuals. Now, these three have not seen any movement vis-a-vis their case. I don't know why. That is a question for you to answer.
May I reply to that?
Jain Saab,
look here,
I'll
please
conclude,
don't see
Jain
the prosecution from the critical
Jain Saab,
point of
conclude.
View. How many
Jain
BJP,
Jain
how many Congress? Question is,
Jain Saab,
is there any
point,
case against any other
Jain Saab, you are my senior in the profession. Please let me make the point.
Jain
Saab, please, if I may make the point, Vishnu, can you make the question?
The whole world is looking at that. Can you say it is only four?
Jain Saab,
and if there is an allegation against a BJP leader, I request
Jain
you, you are a very senior lawyer, responsible lawyer.
These are facts,
Jain
Saab. It is a fact that out of all the cases, the ED seems to have a selective preference for going after the members of the opposition. Jain Saab, it is also a fact that the ED's timing is always coincidental. It is uniquely most active around election times. Do you remember the raid on Chandni Saab's nephews? Do you remember the raids on other opposition leaders? I don't need to remind you of all this, Jain Saab.
Let us take politics off the table.
Let me ask you, as a senior advocate of the court, is it fair to have the law without safeguards?
Mohammed Khan, half a second. You made points. Jain Saab wants to reply. Jain Saab, go ahead.
See, what I'm saying is this. Please do not see the accused, the investigation by the any agency from political point of view. So many BJP, so many Congress, so many Akali Dal, or so many communists. See whether the allegations leveled are false or true. I'm giving you an example with all respect. Shri Rahul Gandhi and Shrimati Sonia Gandhi. They are being questioned by the ED. The whole Congress party is raising hue and cry over that. Till date, they have not come out with a single allegation that during their investigation, even a single question put to them by ED was not relevant. Have they come out with that?
Jain Saab,
so
may
if
I respond?
The ED is investigating
respond,
the matter for days together, trying to get information, and you say not me, but Motilal Vohra was responsible.
Jain Saab, may I respond?
From a minister's residence, and her
spokesperson,
permit the ED to complete the investigation.
Jain Saab, I'll say three things. My first point is, Jain Saab, every single time that the ED has summoned either of the Gandhis, they have always appeared. They have answered all questions. Second point, Jain Saab, this investigation has gone on for 8 years. Are you telling me this agency that you put so much stock in has somehow not been able to make a case in 8 years? It hasn't even gone to trial, Jain Saab. For all the efficacy that you speak of, they've not been able to uncover any evidence in all these 8 years. It's just a waste of taxpayer money, if you ask me. And thirdly, Jain Saab, let me ask you this. Jain Saab, you're a senior counsel. And I ask you this, ye rajnaitik chashme hatake main aapse sawal poochta hoon, sir. Is it not good to have a law that is so prone to abuse, have built-in safeguards? Zaruri nahi hai kya ki hum isme safeguards
banaye? Then why did the Congress not object to this earlier on? Wasn't this a law also championed? Wasn't this a law also championed by the Congress party after 2005?
I'll answer that. Jain Saab, please correct me if I'm wrong. After 2014, how many amendments have been introduced? 26 through three different acts.
In fact, Jansab,
listen to me. You have a point to make. You are doing that shit. Jansab, let me make the point and then you debate.
Can I be the judge? Just half, let us, Dr. Panja has been waiting very, very patiently. Dr. Panja, if you look at what the court has said today, they've said that this is important. Why? Because it's stringent measures which need to deal with serious offences. It affects social and economic fabric of our country. Its special enactments are required to tackle new situations. Basically saying that the PMLA Act and the role of the ED is important. Now, your party faces lots of questions and queries. Why? How can you say that what the act or what the law is at fault? It's not the law at fault. The law seems to be fine.
Vishnuji, these provisions were there in the law. We understand that. But there must be something for which 100 petitions were filed. What was it? The gravity of the offense versus the misuse of the law. So there was a challenge. And the Supreme Court has upheld the existing provisions. And of course, it is binding on us. But at the same time, what we just want to submit is, which has already been mentioned by a few of the panelists, that what is happening is that Supreme Court has also made certain observations, not today, but previously, on indiscriminate arrests. CJI has also questioned the falling credibility of the central agencies, has also mentioned about that there should be an independent umbrella under which these investigating agencies should be. They should be under one roof. And even our Honorable Chief Minister in Bengal has been asking that these should be a fast track investigation. Not, you know, what we see, it's an investigation of convenience. As we said, you just look at the frequency. Look at the timings of the investigation. Look at the frequency and timings of these raids. You're very connected. I don't know. What a coincidence. It's connected to the elections or the forthcoming elections. Or, unusually, it has a geographical distribution or, I would say, limitation. It is just seems to be going only to the non-BJP ruled states. And that is what astonishes us. We are all under the law. But even as we speak about the various provisions of the law, we would request for its complete autonomy. What we see is that there is a political misuse of the law and proven. You have mentioned some cases who have not been called, not even questioned, not even called, not even interrogated.
Okay, on Dr. similar Panta, complaints. Half a second.
No, Mr. Jain, I just wish to say, you were saying that probably there was not evidence enough. Just one case, Shubhendu Adhikari has not been called. But on the similar complaint, Firhad Hakim, Madan Mitra, Shubrata Mukherjee have been called. They were arrested and they are fighting. But he has not been questioned. That is the unusuality about it. That is what we are saying.
All right, Mr. Jain, just quickly reply to that one point.
It is a hatchet to catch the opposition.
Number one, so far as the investigation is to be done by the investigating agency in the manner it deems fit, accused cannot decide how the investigation should be done. Number two, if you feel genuinely that there are some material against another person who is not being properly investigated, the law gives you an option. Move the High Court, move the Supreme Court, that this is the material against him. Ask the ED or the CBI, whatever it is, to investigate. Simply because you want some people to be prosecuted. You can't say no, must be prosecuted.
Mr. Jain, it is something like the reverse burden of proof. It's something like the reverse burden of proof where you are telling us to go to the courts of the law. Whereas the courts of the law is not taking cognizance. It's the court which directed the CBI to interrogate the people I was mentioning or the ones in the state. But the court does not order the CBI, ask the CBI as to why. As to why Shubhendu Adhikari is not being questioned. That is what is, which is unusual. And that's why we say there is a selective discrimination. And this is the misuse that we are fighting against.
Madam, some examples here and there cannot invalidate the law. No. Okay. This we will find in almost all the laws.
No, this is important. You see, this is important. Nobody can be above the law.
The law has been made by Parliament.
Nobody can be above the law. It is cognizable. It has to be. It is cognizable.
Still, if the bill, no.
I'm extremely sorry. Just because the NDA is in power doesn't mean it will selectively discriminate. Absolutely no. I don't agree with you at all. It is not the onus of
the NDA. Okay. Dr. Panja, half a second. I wanted to go across to Professor Gobardhan Das. So if you look at the law itself, does it not strike you as being bizarre that the accused has to prove his or her innocence and that the ED needs only to prove guilt, firstly. Secondly, no need to provide case information copy to the accused. Just 2 points over here. Does this law not strike you as being bizarre?
So, Vishnu, good evening, and good evening to my all fellow panelists. So, you are asking the question to a wrong person. I do not know ABCD of the law. But one or two questions may I ask? I asked Dr. Panja. Dr. Panja is every day in every show. She is saying, why Shubhendu Adhikari is not being called.
But just one thing.
So Shubhendu Adhikari, she is putting evidence that he was taking money and counting money, all these. You are talking about the Sharda and Narada case, right? So this is Sharda and Narada case is accused in the TMC. So now you are agreeing that there was Sharda and Narada case, their money laundering thing happened. So that means
Govardhanji, are you trying to? You are still evading. You are doing this evasion on every show that you appear. You still have not answered on any show about why Shubhendu Adhikari will not be called. Our people were called and also interrogated and arrested. But why will Shubhendu Adhikari on a similar complaint not be called?
Okay,
so this is indiscriminate, Govardhanji.
I'm coming to that question. First, you answered this, that you agreed that something happened, Sharda Narada case, and that is the corruption happened, right? The money laundering case happened in Sharda Narada case. You agreed that. If you agreed
so what
that,
is your
I
question,
can
what is the question? I cannot understand. Are you a judge? Are you the court that I'm to answer to you? Are you agreeing? What is it?
It's in the public domain.
It is ongoing. You know that.
What are you denying? Now you are in trap of your own. That's because what we're saying that it is clear evidence that Shubhendu Adhikari was taking.
Why will he not be called? Can you answer that question?
No. So if
you're not answering,
that corruption happened. And corruption happened.
Both of you.
So Shubhendu Adhikari, washing machine, BJP.
I'm running out of time.
You're proving BJP is a washing machine. So you proved it. We can't hear anybody.
Everybody wait. Peace. I need to wrap this up by just making one final point. The number of leaders in the opposition against who have been targeted by the ED for right or for wrong is much more, many times more, than those in the government, those in the BJP, those who are not in the opposition. And the question, therefore, needs to be asked about whether this is discriminatorily used, whether that is fair at all.
We're
running out of time on this program. There are comments which have come in on coup. As I wrap up this program, as usual, I need to read these out because the views of people are important in this. Pari Sonpal says the misuse of power can be seen with any force or agency under a government, and that should be dealt with differently. How do we solve this? By restricting an agency. Atul Kumar says, isn't this fascism? Other says, has there been any outcome of repeated questioning? Nikita asks, merely uttering the opposition's name turns you into a target. Just a handful of views. We need to take a short break at this stage. There's a lot more coming up right here on NDTV 24/7.